This morning's scripture reading comes from Jude, verses 17 through 20. Jude 17 through 20. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, was writing to Christians of his time. He was writing to exhort them. He was writing to remind the brethren and warn them and encourage the brethren there. And this writing to the Christians is very applicable to us today. And because we need to be encouraged to take our faith in God seriously. And as we see in verse 3, that we should contend for earnestly for the faith. And then we need to be warned and reminded of things, even if we already know them. In verse 5, it says, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who disbelieved." And we look at this and we see that we need to stand accountable as well to build ourselves up in the faith. That means we need to grow. And as we look at the text this morning that was read, let us look at how we can help build ourselves up in the most holy faith. How we can be stronger Christians. The first thing we need to do is we need to remember. Remember the words of the apostles that was spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words. And when we look at this, we need to, first we must remember the progression of how the apostles received the words. The words came from God to the Son. If you would turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 47 through 50. Jesus is talking here, and he said, "If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." You see, Jesus was coming and teaching the disciples. He was teaching the Pharisees. He was teaching them to not based on his fleshly body or his words, but the authority that comes from God. He said, "I'm teaching not on my own earthly wisdom, but on the words of God." And as we see this, the progression is God gave his words to his Son, to gave it to Jesus to come and speak that in order for mankind to be saved. Then we go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 in verse 25 through 26. The words came from God to the helper, to the apostles. And Jesus in verse 25 says, "These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I have said to you." So we see that the Holy Spirit was going to come to the apostles, the disciples, and was going to bring them into remembrance the things that Jesus taught. And they were going to remember all. And the progression here is that the Father will send them in the name of Jesus and bring him into this remembrance. So the Word of God came from God's divine revelation through the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, but God has revealed them to us, which is the Word, through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things which has been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches concerning spiritual things. You see, the Word of God was revealed to them by or through the Holy Spirit. So if we look at this, we look at the God, the whole Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is bringing a message to man. And that man is eternal life, the salvation. And when we look at this and we are reminded, and back in Jude, in verse 17, it says, remember the words that were spoken by the apostles of Jesus Christ. Remember, the reason we need to remember is because they are from God. And in the first part of that verse, it says, but you, beloved, remember the words. And we see here, they were some that were not remembering the words. There were some there that, in verse 16, if we look, there are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, fellow Christians, remember the words of the apostles. Remember those words. Why do we need to remember those words? Because those words are from God. And the Word of God was revealed to them, and they spoke and they taught the things that are from God. And remembering the words gives boldness because they are from God. If we look at a police officer, a police officer can have boldness to go out and follow and make sure that people are following the law. When we look at that, they have that boldness because they have the backing of the lawmakers, the backing of that governing authority to stand, to make sure that the people follow that law. They have that backing, so therefore they can be bold and say, you are breaking the law. You are not following and following after the law of the land. And if they're not, they can be prosecuted. And we as Christians can have boldness because we have the backing of God, and therefore we don't want to prosecute people, but we want to bring people to repentance, to salvation. And therefore we can have that boldness to go out and proclaim the Word of God, because it is from God and He backs it and He is our authority. And then as we look at this, we see the boldness that we can take and make that stand because it is from God. We can be faithful. We can be faithful when the whole world has no faith, because it is from God. The message is from God. And we can be bold, knowing that we know the truth, and that the truth is what standard we live by. We try our best to be following the scriptures. We can know how God wants to be worshipped, and we can worship in that manner. We know how God wants us to live our lives, and we can live by that standard because we have the backing of Scripture. And we can also remember the stand that the apostles made. The stand that they made. Remember, Peter, he was one that would be one that would stand firm in most times. In fact, in John chapter 6, when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, And those who come and eat my flesh and drink my blood will have eternal life. And then that was a hard teaching for them at that time. But a lot of the people followed after Jesus no more. And then Jesus said to the other disciples of his that were there, he said, "Do you want to follow? You want to leave too? Would you like to leave too?" And Peter was one who says, "No." He said, "Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, he got the point. The point was Jesus is the Son of God. And therefore he can make that stand to say, "I'm going to follow after you. Yes, your teaching may be hard. We might not understand everything right at this point. But I am going to follow after you." Jesus also asked Peter Matthew chapter 16. He asked him, he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And he tells him, "Some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah." And he said to him, "But who do you say that I am, Peter?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had an understanding of who Jesus was. And as we look at this, we can make that same stand as Peter made. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we see that Peter and John are making a stand and telling people that there is salvation in no one else. "But there is no name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, and that is Jesus Christ." And then they were beaten, and they were told not to speak of this name. "Do not speak on his behalf anymore." And in verse 19 and 20, it says, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. You be the judge of that. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard.'" You see, they can make that stand. They can make that stand because they remembered that the message that they are teaching is from God. And they had boldness in that. And then we also need to remember the warnings. Look at verses in Jude 18 and 19. How the apostles, they told that there would be mockers in the last time that would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. You see, there would be people that would live by their own fleshly desires, that they would cause divisions and cause problems amongst the church. Those being the Judaizers and other sects of people that would come and try to persuade them to go a different way. Isn't that applicable to us today? There are some that are not speaking the words of God. They were seeking the pleasures of themselves and teaching, well, what feels good and what makes people these flattering words to gain advantage over them so they can maybe they can be rich and famous and have their name proclaimed. We need to remember the warnings, and we need to be careful of what we are following after. Are we following after the word of God or the teachings of man? Having this remembrance, we can use this to help build ourselves up in the faith. And when we look at this, we see that it says in verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith." You see, we have a responsibility to build ourselves up in the faith. When we first become a Christian, we believe in Jesus Christ. We repent of our sins. We are baptized for the remission of our sins. And then we need to go from there and grow in our faith. Because what happened to those people in Egypt? The Israelites, they were taken from Israel. Egypt. They were led out of captivity that they were under. And then later they're destroyed because they didn't believe in God. We need to be careful that we don't lose our faith. In order, what we need to do then is to keep building on our faith. Yes, when we became a Christian, we may just understand the elementary principles, and that is great. That is what we need to do. And then we need to continue to grow from there. And how are we going to grow? The scriptures here teach a few different ways. First is by praying in the Holy Spirit. And this is one of those ones where we have people that teach different things about what this means. But what we are going to do this morning is look at other scriptures to see what does this mean. We understand prayer. We understand the power of prayer. But what does it mean by praying in the Holy Spirit? Well, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God." You see, when we pray to God, and there's sometimes that we may not have the right words, we may not know exactly what to say, but the Spirit searches us and intercedes for us. And how does that work? I don't understand completely, but here's what I do understand. It is not some miraculous thing that we pray in the Holy Spirit in some way or some form that some magical thing happens. You see, because 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, it says, when we pray with the Spirit. We pray with the Spirit, and in doing so, we pray with understanding. We pray with understanding. So we pray to God, the one who knows us. He knows what we need. He understands what we need. He knows what's best for us. And in doing so, we can go to God in prayer. So when we look at praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit is not a mindless surrender to something beyond oneself, but it is rather mindful obedience to Jesus Christ. Praying in the Holy Spirit is having this bond or communion with God. It is going to God, who is our authority, who is the one we are submitting to. Because, as I said, he knows what we need and what is best for us. And we need to submit to that will of God. If we are going to build ourselves up by submitting ourselves to God in prayer, we need to do that. And by doing so, he is our source of strength. He is our source of perseverance through the times that are tough, knowing that God hears our prayers. That is one of the things that I think is just so valuable. And we'll talk about that more tonight, that God is mindful of us, and he hears our prayers. And if we are going to grow as Christians, we need to understand prayer and understand that we can go to the Father, the Creator, and he will hear us. And know that in doing so, that builds us up, that helps us in our life. And the next, in verse 21, it says, keep yourself in the love of God. And when we look at keeping ourselves in the love of God, there is no stronger motivation than love. There is no stronger motivation in love. In fact, when we look at this, we love God because he first loved us. Our love that we have for God is a response to his love that he showed us. It will only be strong if as we allow ourselves to appreciate the full sense of God's love for us. And I think that this verse really talks about this. For God loved us while we were yet sinners. You see, we can understand that when we turned our back to God and went after the sins of this world, God loved us. God loved us even when we we're not showing our love for him. You see, this is how God's love is. God's love, he loved us while we were yet sinners. Nothing outward can separate the Christian from this love. In Romans 8 and verse 35, it says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? And in verse 38 and 39 said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, if nothing can separate us from the love of God, how do we look at this and we say, keeping yourselves in the love of God? Well, that is the inward part of us, that where we the danger lies within. You see, one can turn, individuals can turn, we can turn to other loves. And when we look at this, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what is the opposite then? If we don't love him, we won't keep his commandments. So we can turn ourselves away from God. But Jude is writing here, keep yourselves in the love of God. That means being obedient to God, being following after him. And following after the will of God. The choice is made up on how is made up, and it's how are we going to respond to God's love? In doing so, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God by conforming to his will. And how do we know the will of God? We know the will of God because we can look at the scriptures and we can know that these scriptures are from God. As we remember that the apostles were giving these words through the inspiration of God. So we need to study the word of God. In order to know his will, we need to take time to read it and investigate it and check out the evidence that's set forth. You see, we need to take our faith seriously and keep growing. And how we keep growing is by continuous study. That is why the elders here choose to have Bible class here every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, so that the members here can come together to learn more about the will and the Word of God. And we have this for that specific purpose, so we can build ourselves up in the faith. That we can help other Christians to learn more about the Word of God. You see, we need to continue to grow as Christians. And in verse 21, it said, keeping yourselves in the love of God, then looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That looking is this anticipation for that time where we can be with God and Jesus forever. That is eternal life. That is that time that we are looking forward to go to heaven. And then we look at these three things that I mentioned. First is remember the words. Second is build ourselves up as growing. And the last one is looking or waiting. And each of these are three action words that we need to use, that the Jude uses here to teach people that Christianity is about doing something. Looking forward to that time that we will be with Jesus forever. This is our hope, to be with God for eternity. We should be living our lives with great anticipation for Jesus to return. I coach baseball, and I coach the kids, and as they're out on the field preparing for the play, and I tell them, I want you to be thinking this. I want the ball hit to me. I want that play to come to me. Why? Because you are ready. Because you're ready and you know that you're ready and you know that you'll make the play. So have that anticipation as if you're ready. So we look at that and we should have that same expectation. Yes, we want Jesus to come right now because we are ready. We have prepared. We have been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are ready for him to come back. You see, if we're not ready, we're not going to have that anticipation that we should. If we are not, we should fix that immediately. We should stop everything and get our lives right with God right here, right now. See, if we are looking for Jesus' return to have that eternal life, then we will, if we're continue to do that, we will have that sense of urgency to make sure that our life is right with God. And if it's not, we need to make changes immediately. If you've not become a Christian, you need to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you do so by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, being baptized for the remission of your sins. And we see here that we need to wait for that anticipation and as if we are ready. And now while we are waiting, we see that while we are waiting and waiting anxiously, we need to do a few things. The scripture in verse 22, it says, "And on some have compassion, making distinction." What this means is there's people out there that are doubting, that don't quite believe, or maybe they did believe and they're falling away and they're doubting in this area. What do we need to do as Christians? While we're waiting anxiously for Jesus to return, we need to be doing things and going after those and helping those that are confused and having some problems. We see that there are some that are confused, overwhelmed by the teachings of those people in verse 16, that they were flattering and trying to gain advantage over them, those false teachers. What should we do? We should, in Christian love, go to these people and convince them of the truth. Convince them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And convince them that the authority is the Scriptures. Why? Because it is from God. Peter said this, that we should always be ready to give a defense or give a reason for our hope that is in us. And therefore, we not doubt, but have faith in that. And that the reason why we need to give a defense for our salvation is because that keeps us knowing that we are in the right. And then we see in verse 23, "But others save with fear." We need to have mercy on some with fear. The fear that we should have is twofold. The fear for us not to fall away from the faith is one. And fear that for the one who is doubting, who is falling away. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11 says, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Knowing what will happen if you are not obedient to the gospel of Christ. That's why we persuade men. That's why we teach and preach, because we are trying to persuade men to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing what will happen if they don't. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how we should all come to this unity of the faith, with knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a measure of stature, the fullness of Christ. That means we gain understanding and we gain this level of faith because we know what the Scriptures teaches. And then there, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro by any wave of doctrine or trickery of men or cunning craftiness or deceitful plotting. When we look at this, we need to understand that we need to continue to grow as Christians. And therefore, there are some that may be in that to and fro area where they believe, but they don't believe. They're not faithful. We need to go to them and help them to build them up in their faith while we are waiting anxiously for Jesus to return. Next is in 23, it says, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh. And there are some others, when we look at this, there are some that have gone completely away from God, whether they don't believe at all or they have gone to just complete false teaching. You see, we need to snatch them from the fire. These are those that are already caught in the fire. These are those that need our love and our concern for them. And how do we do this? We must go to them. We must go to them and talk with them and take the scriptures and reason with them to help them come to repentance. Often we may look at them with disgust on those who are caught in the fires. Sadly, I've heard, and I understand what they're saying. Those that have fallen away from the faith, you know, they know better than that. You know how many times I've heard that? They know better than that. Yeah, they may, but they've delusioned themselves into a way that they don't even know what they believe anymore. They're just living for themselves. They're living by their own fleshly desires and lusts of this world. We need to go to them and snatch them out of the fire. And yes, it should be the way we should not hate the sinner, but love them. But hating the sin, and that's kind of what that is. Hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Hating that what they've put on in their life is sin in their life. So we should hate that sin, but love them. And as we look at this, Jude is reminding the Christians to take action. To take action. To remember the words of the apostles, knowing that they are from God. Build yourselves up. And wait eagerly for the Lord. And we need to stand accountable for ourselves to make sure we're building ourselves up in the faith. And that is our responsibility to do so. Each of us has a responsibility to do this individually by submitting to God and His Word, submitting to the will of God. We need to grow as Christians. And if we are not a Christian, we need to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, you must believe in Jesus Christ. Confess that. Confess that He is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And there may be some here this morning that haven't done that. I plead with you, get yourself right with God. Don't delay. Or maybe you're here this morning and yes, you've been led away by sin. And you've been struggling with that, and maybe you need to repent of that at this time. We urge you, we encourage you to get your life right with God. While we have the chance and while we have the opportunity, if we can help you do that this morning, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.